I want to return now in the second part to follow and read the rest of what Luke said, okay? You see, as it was handed on to us, or as the eyewitnesses handed down, and the servants of the word. Hard to know who these diakoni are, and why they're, unless it's those people who gathered the witness of the eyewitnesses and began to commit them to writing. And that was part of the material that Mark had, and then Luke, and then Matthew and John, as they were writing. Remember, these are people who worship Jesus. These are people who know they're being fed by him on his own body and blood. There are these the people who are moved, inspired, and rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. These are not propagandists or authors. They're believers and preachers. And so, it seemed to me, having followed things from the beginning carefully to write them for you, O admirable Theophilus, that you might know stability, asphalia, of that that you were catechized in. That's why I'm going to write. So some important person, friend of Luke's, I guess, Luke is a doctor, he's a professional, you know, and I travel with Paul, is now going to sit down and take this material and put it in an order. Of course, he's aware of Mark. He's aware of some other collections, probably, that we don't have. And so that's where he's going to work. And we're going to be doing Mark. And so who's the first? Is everybody? Everybody's calculation. A couple of little things about his style. He's a very graphic storyteller. And then he did this, and then he says this, and then he says this, like that, you know, it keeps you on the edge of your chair. Also, he tells fewer incidents, especially miracles, but when he does tell one, he tells it much greater length. He tells much more detail about it. And so, and that formed the basic model for the other two. Sometimes their wording is very close together, sometimes it isn't. Now, of course, we all grow up post-printing press and now post-computer, so we think of them, he's typing, you know. It's oral, most of it, memory. And while people might have had his text there, Matthew and Luke, they were developing it. But they kept the basic structure of one trip north-south. John does not do that, as I said. So, what I want to talk about now is the high point of the liturgy on Sunday, the first part of the liturgy, is the gospel. It's always something to do, a narrative, about Jesus. That's the high point, prepared by two other readings and so forth. So these Gospels have kept the church alive and unified for 2,000 years. And the persecutors knew the power of these texts because they often told the Christians, turn over your holy books and we won't kill you. The Christians say, you don't have to kill us. These books are too valuable. Think about that. When was the last time you really sat down with your whole heart and soul to study and receive from the Holy Spirit these holy words? People died rather than turn them over. And that's very important. You see, these are the Word of God. But they're the Word of God in human expression. Jesus is the Word of God in a humanity. He had two hands, two feet. You know, he ate and drank. You know, well, the Gospels are literature. suffused by that same word of God. I might give you now just an overview of Mark. And then next time we start, we're going to start with Mark 1:1 and we'll start to go through the gospel. And we're going to go through the whole of it, all of 16 chapters, slowly. It starts, you see, by saying, and it's only Mark that does this, Evangelion, which is the word, Archi tu Evangeliu Jesu Christu, Hioteu in most manuscripts. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Some manuscripts don't have the Son of God, but he's going to say it all over the place for the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, and then he starts to talk about that, and we're going to be looking at that next time. And he talks about the preparatory ministry of the Baptist, and then the baptism of Jesus, and then Jesus' trial in the desert, and then his early preaching, then the call of the disciples. Now he's known a bit, so he calls these disciples, the first four, right away. And then the beginning of Jesus' in this text, of Jesus' power. First confrontation in Mark is with evil. In Mark, this is a big theme, it's a perspective on Jesus, his conflict with evil. He's preaching in the synagogue, and somebody starts screaming out, a demon is in him. He casts out the demon. He goes home to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick, he heals her. You see, this is action. And then he goes to be baptized. And then goes into the desert where he's tried by Satan. If you be the Son of God, you see, we'll be there when we get there. And then his early preaching. And then the call of the first disciple. Right away, up there in Galilee, as Mark is constructing this life. Others, you see, because they are not so attached to chronology, Luke starts his gospel with the story of the preaching in Nazareth. He's there, he reads that text from Isaiah, Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor, from Isaiah 61, sits down and says, this is fulfilled today in your hearing. And they get so angry, this is Jesus, we know him. Yeah, he lived up the street. They try to kill him. Already in Luke, you see this cloud start to hang over. Matthew has a whole other way of starting. The gospel, in both Matthew and Luke, is preceded by an account of Jesus' childhood, his birth, and all the rest. That's not in Mark. Okay. Then we have this, after the casting out of the demon in the synagogue, we have the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. A remarkable story. When we look at it, you'll see that. Then, a summary. There were a lot of healings, you see. And then he goes to hide and pray. And when they find him, he talks about his mission in Galilee. And then, the healing of a leper. Starting. Healing. Good news. Truth. Knowledge of the Father, compassion, joy, care for the poor, care for the outcasts, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the crooks, everybody. He's out for them. You see? And then, another one. The healing of a layman. Then, another call. Another vocation call. This time it's to Levi. And Levi is a tax collector. He's not even popular, as I'll be pointed out when we get there. And that's followed by a banquet. And then these three beginning conflict stories. What about fasting? What about the Sabbath? What about healing on the Sabbath? And every time Jesus responds, with great courtesy but firmness, okay? And then, these are typical of Matthew or Mark. He will then sum up a whole period of our Lord's life in what we call a summary statement. And that goes on. And so he goes on like that, And then he starts a parables, Matthew, parables section, collects a lot of Jesus' parables. Matthew does the same, but many, many more than Mark. Okay. And then, the calming of a storm, the driving out of a demon from a man over there on the other side of the lake, and then raising Jairus' daughter, now he's back on this side of the lake. One of Mark's literary devices is he went to the other side, then he went to the other side, then he went to the other side. It's like you hit the button and the computer moves in a certain number, but you're starting a new paragraph. Literarily, this is the way he does it. He went to one side, then he goes to the other side. You see? He has the realities that Jesus performed, but he's not trying to give you what we think history is. Then the rejection of Nazareth. At that point, okay, he starts to send out the 12. And then Mark has a bit of a interlude, talks about John the Baptist and the story of John the Baptist and his martyrdom. And then Jesus calls the 12 apart, and then we have the feeding of the 5,000, and we begin a section called the bread section. Every incident in this section mentions bread, one way or another. Arthos. The first is the multiplication of the arthos. Then the feeding. Then, the light comes to the man at Bethsaida. And then, he goes on with these bread stories, you see. And then, finally now we're in chapter 10. Jesus starts his journey south. Now he's going to go south, then he's going to go east across the river, go down that side of the river, come across again at Jericho, and then go up the mountains, I've done this myself, till you get to Jerusalem. And so, they're all real places, they're all places he went, but the ordering of the stories probably got a lot to do with Mark. And it's nice to know that and to be aware of that. But the gospel doesn't start to reach maturity in you until you experience these things as being done in you by Jesus Christ. Healing, enlightening, calling as a disciple, promising, offering love and friendship, forgiving. This has all got to happen in you. But these things are just a high-octane history. This is not a book. It is the Word of God. So I'm going to let the last part go for now. When our Lord gets to Jerusalem, and he's there, and he's in the temple teaching, then there's a plot to kill him, and you know the rest. You know the story from that point on. But that's the way Mark frames it. The other synoptics follow that basic story. One travel down, with the conflict, and then finally the entrance into Jerusalem, the Last Supper, and then the arrest, the trial, the torture, the murder, the resurrection, and the preaching. Starting next time, we're going to start looking inch by inch at all those things, starting with the very first one. God bless you.